turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible of your own, you can turn to the one in the pew rack, and you'll find that on page 1901, page 1901, 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. And let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word. And teach us what you intended in giving us this commandment, you shall not murder. And help us to understand how we fail to keep this commandment and how you want us to keep this commandment. And Lord, so instruct us from your word. Help us to understand the deeper meaning that you have, even as Jesus taught his disciples, teach also us. In his name we pray. Amen. You have a handout there. We'll help you to follow along, and I hope you've got that on one hand and your Bible on the other. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, it simply says, you shall not murder. And we've been going through the basics of the faith in this series on Here We Still Stand in the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, where Martin Luther nailed to the bulletin board at the church, the door of the church, that's what it was used for, 95 topics to be debated, and ignited a firestorm of controversy. But he also ignited a fire of faith. And in that controversy, Martin Luther was commanded by the highest officials in the empire and said, you got to take back what you said. And Martin Luther says, I cannot deny God's word. My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. And here we still stand on the word of God. And so we turn to God's word today and understand what it means, what scripture means by this commandment, you shall not murder. Now, murder, you shall not murder, is the one law that we usually think is universal, right? Everybody agrees on that. You shall not murder. Or is it? The problem comes in when you have to ask, well, who qualifies as a human being? You know, you shall not murder another human being. But we take whole classes of people out of the concept of human beings. So, you know, in our society today, many don't consider a baby in the womb a human being until it is born, and even after that. And so, abortion, 22%. Of the pregnancies in this country today, and I was shocked by that, how high that number still is. 22% of pregnancies end in abortion. You shall not murder. The other end of life, we feel that there's some lives that aren't worth living. Quality of life isn't there, and so many states and many countries have passed assisted suicide laws to kill those who may be suffering from a terminal illness or a painful illness, perhaps though they're even mentally ill or have some other kind of disability. And we call it the right to die, but as the person who founded the hospice movement, helping people to die with honor and dignity and comfort, the hospice movement, Dame Cicely Saunders, the problem with the right to die is it soon becomes the duty to die, where society says, no, it's your duty to end your life now and not be a drag on everyone else. No, God says every human life is sacred because each one has been made in the image of God. And from the moment of conception, God created your life and my life. And every human life, every human being is precious to God and ought to be precious to us. And so we see around the world, in ages past, there have been some religions have done human sacrifice, thinking that they're honoring God by offering up a human being. Others feel like anybody who doesn't believe what they believe ought to be wiped out. And there's ethnic cleansing and religious cleansing and racial cleansing. We don't think a person of another ethnicity is truly a human being, and so we can just do away with them. But beyond that, even beyond that, we think, well, okay, I haven't murdered anybody. I often say, you know, we've all broken all the commandments. And we have to be fully responsible to God to say, there's not one that I have kept the way you intended for them to keep. And people will say, whoa, Pastor, hold on. I haven't murdered anybody. And so have you kept this commandment, thou shalt not murder, because you haven't physically taken away the life of someone? Remember what Jesus said when he said, oh, you've heard from of old, you shall not murder, but I tell you that anyone who is angry or remains angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother, as I mentioned to the kids, Raca, says to him, Raca, you literally, you airhead, will be liable to the council. And anyone who says, you fool, will be liable to the fires of hell. Jesus said, we haven't kept this commandment if we haven't treated our fellow human being with the respect and honor and value that God gives to them, that God gives to them. But we're not done yet, because also, as we're going to see in the scriptures today, we fail to keep this commandment, not just when we haven't treated somebody with respect, or when we've hurt somebody or even caused their death. We still haven't kept this commandment unless we have helped our neighbor in their time of need. It was Luther who said that this commandment means that we should fear and love God so that we do our neighbor no bodily harm, the kids got that one right, nor cause any suffering, but help and befriend our neighbor in every bodily need. We haven't kept the commandment if we haven't loved and helped our neighbor in every physical need that they have. Well, I don't know about you, but after two hurricanes hit our coast, the southern coast and the eastern coast, that's pretty overwhelming. There's a lot of people in need. And I certainly haven't done what this commandment requires to help my neighbor in their bodily need. Who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus answered that question with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everyone is my neighbor. So what are we doing to help others and to consider others as valuable as God considers them value? How we treat others is a reflection on how we value God. How we value others and how we treat them is a reflection on our value of God, because they're made in God's image. And if we can't love our neighbor whom we see, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen? Those are challenging words, and they ought to be challenging for us. And my purpose here this morning isn't to make you feel guilty. God's word and his spirit ought to show us our guilt. And we all stand guilty before a holy God. Our motivation this morning is, once having been convicted, we see God's answer and we understand how we are to be united with God in his love, and then share that love with others. Well, let's get into that passage from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 17. And I'm using the English Standard Version of the Bible. It's a little different than the NIV, the New International Version that you have in your pews. And I do it for this reason, that the ESV translates a key word as abide or abiding. And that's an important word in the Gospel of John and in the letters of John. John means something very specific when he talks about abiding. It is a term of intimacy. How it's translated in the New International Version is to remain. And it means to remain in. And Jesus said, unless you remain in me and my words remain in you, apart from me, you can do nothing. He talked about the connection of the vine and the branches, remain in me. But the word abide means more than that. It means to stay permanently, to stay and remain connected permanently. But it also has a level of relationship to it. To abide means to have an intimate, close fellowship When you abide with Christ and Christ abides in you, you have this intimate, close fellowship. And so that word abide means more than remain. And so as I read this, just remember that and focus on that word abide. And we're going to talk more about that. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And Jesus himself summarized all the commandments with that word love. Love God. Love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12 says, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. And do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death, remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, remaining in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" These are God's words. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher today to teach us from this word. Well, the first thing we find in this passage is that love is the key to all the commandments. Jesus said that, as I noted. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the key to all the commandments. And so here we hear this. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay, that seems simple. In 1 John chapter 4, it tells us where is the source of that love. You know, it's not just having a good feeling about people. It is looking and seeing the need of another person and then reaching out and helping to meet that need. It's our faith in action is really what the love this is talking about. So in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because..." Oh, I forgot the next part. Do you remember it? Because what? Let's start this again, because I should know this by heart. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because..." Oh, God is love. You got it. All love comes from God. And if God is love and we're not loving, we got a problem. That's what this is all about. So first of all, love is the key to all the commandments. I began this series on the commandments by saying all the commandments are relational. They require a relationship with God. They require a relationship with God. And that's what abiding means. Abiding is that close relationship. So let's unpack this a little bit here. While God is the source of love, this passage tells us that Satan is the source of all murder. I bet you didn't know that, did you? God is the source of all love, but Satan is the source of all murder. Look at verse 12. "We should not be like Cain." Remember Cain? We talked about that in confirmation class. Remember Cain and Abel? What happened to Abel? He died because his brother murdered him. He says, "Don't be like Cain, who was of the evil one." Who's the evil one? Satan. Yeah, the devil is the evil one. He was of the evil one. He was so overcome by jealousy of his brother. He was so overcome by this evil in his heart, this hatred towards his brother, that he lashed out and killed him. Hate is the root of all murder. And so he was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Jesus tells us the same thing in John 8:44. Jesus told the Jewish people who were listening to him, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Well, that says a lot about the devil, but first thing it says is he was a murderer from the beginning. How was he a murderer from the beginning? Satan is the source of murder because by one act of rebellion, he rebelled against God. He wanted to get some praise like God was getting praise in heaven. He wanted to be in the place of God. And he was thrown down into the earth, and so he messes with Adam and Eve, the first human beings. And he convinces them that if they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they'll be like God. But God had already told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. And so because of his rebellion, of Satan's rebellion, it brought death to the whole human race. In Romans chapter 5, it says, through one act of disobedience, death came into the world, and death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. Satan was the instigator of that. And so through Satan, the whole human race faces death. The whole human race. He was a murderer from the beginning. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's always some truth in Satan's lies. The truth was, they wouldn't die immediately, but they would die. And every other human being that lived since has died. And so, Satan is the source of all murder. The next thing we learn here is that life without love is death. Life without love is death. Verse 14 says this, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother, as Cain did Abel, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so life without love is death. By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? We're not going to keep this commandment the way God intended us to keep the commandment unless his love, unless God, who is the source of all love, lives in us. And if we're not living in his love, we're living in death. We're living in death. It says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In fact, whoever does not love abides in death. Here's from the Anchor Bible, helps us out a little bit here. This word abide in the Gospel of John, in the letters of John, is to be intimately united with someone in a relationship of permanence. It is an intimate union that expresses itself in a way of life lived in love. And so God wants us to abide in him, to have this intimate union with him. He's love, and when we abide in him, we abide in his love. When we're not abiding in that love, whoever does not love then abides in death. You're living in death. You're having this relationship with death. And that's your life on this earth, is you're already living death. Death is of the devil. Death came into this world through the devil's work. And Jesus, earlier in this passage, it is said of Jesus, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy that work. He wants us not to live in death, abide in death. He wants us to abide in life. He wants us to abide in him. And how do we do that? By this we know the love of God. He laid down his life for us. Well, that's pretty plain. He sacrificed for us. He saw our need and met that need at great and terrible cost. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for other people. Well, that doesn't mean that you have to jump out in front of a car and physically save them, and then you've kept this commandment. Take their death for them. Well, we're probably not going to be able to do that. But this is what it really means. And we find out what it really means, laying down our lives for others, in the next verse, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods, if we have what we need, and we see somebody else in need, yet we close our heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? To lay down your life is to say, I'm going to give the things of my life to other people. I'm not going to just keep them to myself. I'm not going to be selfish and self-centered. I'm going to live my life for others. That is immensely hard. I fail to do that. I live my life a lot selfishly. Yes, I do a lot of things for other people. Fortunately, and that's God's work in me, and God's still working in me to keep my eyes off myself and get them on other people. But to do that, we need God's love in our hearts. We need God's love living in us. Does God abide in us? Are we abiding in love, in the love of God? Are we really living in death? There's really only two options. If we aren't serving God, we are serving Satan. That's what this passage is saying. That's pretty tough. If we're not serving God, we're serving Satan. If we're not abiding in life and love, we're abiding in death. And God wants us to experience his life, eternal life, now and forever. God wants us to live in an intimate relationship, so we're living out that life by living in love and showing love to one another. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus Christ. Because I can't do this on my own. And we're never meant to be. Remember, love comes from God. And when it says, you shall not murder, the source of murder is Satan and selfishness and hatred and anger. The source of love is Jesus Christ sacrificing for us. And he says, if you have that love in you, you'll sacrifice for others. So are you living in death? Are you abiding in death or are you abiding in life? Are you abiding selfishly and living for yourself, or are you living for Jesus Christ who died for you and wants you to give your life in helping others? Well, let's bring this to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I find this to be a hard message. And I don't know if I lost anybody along the way, but I pray that your word would have its impact and bring your conviction to our hearts and help us to see our need for Jesus. For this is love, not that we loved you, but that you loved us and sent your Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. If God so loved us, let us love one another. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to help each other in their physical needs, to fulfill this commandment by having the right attitude, by having the right actions toward other people, by, Lord, having the right heart for you. Lord, may we live in such a close relationship with you that our actions of love will flow from that, and we'll value other people as much as you value them, that we'll value other people as much as you value us. And you've already put that price on there, that it was not with silver or gold that you redeemed us, but by the holy and precious blood of a lamb unblemished, the blood of Christ. Thank you that you redeemed us at such a great cost. We're that valuable to you. Father, may we treat others as that valuable to us. And if anyone is here this morning that's never, isn't abiding in your love, doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, has not put their faith and trust in him, Lord, would they cry out to you, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you to abide in me. I need you to live in me. I need that close relationship to you. I can't do this on my own. I know I failed, and I know that you died on a cross for my failure. I ask you to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. And Lord, just as you rose from the dead, I believe one day I'll have eternal life with you. But Lord, I need you to live in me right now, just as you've promised. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.